I don't wanna go to work. I just wanna chill and play all day. Look him dead in the face and say, I wish I could just be still asleep while you work.
Welcome to the Jobs Blow podcast. I'm your host, Brianna Haas, and this is the podcast for dreamers with and without day jobs. This week's show is called Free Monsters Unite with author and air traffic controller, Amy Strasbaugh. And I probably butchered your name, Amy, even though you practiced with me, and I apologize.
It was perfect. Okay. It was perfect. Thank you so much.
Well, I always love to have free monsters on my podcast. I know I mentioned to you before that Caleb Dan Schroeder had been on and Jason Eberle had been on. So it's nice to have a Fremont female on my show. Oh, thank you so much.
That's a place of honor. Thank you. I'm glad to be the first.
Well, so to kick off the show, I like to give an inspirational quote kind of based on the guest. And so this is what I picked, and let me know what you think. Never become so much of an expert that you stop gaining expertise. View life as a continuous learning experience.
Oh, that's actually very spot on. Right. It must be from what I emailed you, because that is exactly how I would live that way. Yes.
So that's Dennis Waitley. I don't know who he is, but yes, Amy sent me a little bio about herself when I learned that she had written the book Free Monsters about our hometown. And in her intro, she mentioned that she didn't want to be an expert at any one thing in life. She wants to be versatile and multidimensional so that she can get the most out of her experiences. So that's the quote I found for you, Amy. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. And that might also be just because that's an excuse in my head for all the jobs that I've had. And when you have that like rack under you of everything you've done, you're like, oh yes, I did that so that I could learn all of these things. So
look, my resume has a lot of different jobs on it as well. I haven't lived as many places as you, but I share your insight into life. And I agree 100%. I have always said that I need to get the most out of this life and do as much as possible and meet as many people. I can meet anyone anywhere. And I feel like it's supposed to mean something. I never take any meeting as just, you know, it just happens. I always like try to think of like, why did I meet this person? So I think that being multidimensional and welcoming different people and different experiences is really getting the most out of life. So good for you.
There's got to be a way to connect with everybody in some form or another, something you could find a way to connect on. And it would make your experience so much better with everybody if you're able to. So I mean, why not expand your horizons and live a little bit? And what else are you going to do? If once you stop doing that, what are you doing? So
exactly. And it's almost like there's a quote about dreaming. If you don't dream, what do you have? Right. So I always had a fear of settling into the mundane. I know that everyone's life experience is different and not everyone feels this way, but I'll never forget. I was in a museum and I saw a photo or a picture, and it was of just like a suburban house. And I had the most negative reaction to it. I didn't want to be in that house. I did not want to just live that every day, what to me felt like a repetitive same thing. Now, look, there is security in it. And I'm doing that probably in my apartment in New York. But for me, I'm in New York. So.
And it is different. Yeah. There is. And there's got to be some sort of security. And like you said, yes, to each their own. But I kind of agree. I don't know. There is half of me that craves, oh, I miss the small town. I miss the community, and particularly Fremont. But also at the same time, you know, I wouldn't be able to settle back there. I guess I could, but it's just, well, so I did get divorced when I was younger, and I actually had to go back to Fremont at one point. And I could have, you know, ended up there, but there was just something that kind of pulled me back out eventually. So, it's different for everybody. And I can totally relate to what you're thinking about. I never had that big of a picture right in front of me telling me what was best, but that's definitely a good thing to know early on.
No, definitely. So let's backtrack a little. Tell me your job title or titles.
So job title now is air traffic control specialist. I work up in Ann Arbor at a small little airport, basically around University of Michigan. Lots of people learning how to fly, medevac helicopters, that kind of thing. It's just a tiny little, pretty much a VFR training tower. So it's challenging. It gets busy. It gets fun. That's my challenge that's constantly changing, that kind of has settled me into a job that's been for keeps, because I've jumped from job to job, kind of bored usually, but this one has enough challenges and it's so different every day that it's kind of been a keeper.
So how long have you been doing this? And then let's talk a little bit about the jobs that came before it.
So I've been doing air traffic for, I suppose, 6 years now. Went to school, took a long time to get hired, did a contract job out in Idaho, and then finally got hired with the government for air traffic and got placed in Ann Arbor, Michigan, which worked out well because it's pretty close to home where I grew up. So that's where I ended up, but it took so long to get here. I think when I originally went out for training for it, I was 26 and I didn't get hired till I was about 32, 33. So it took a long time. So I had to have been motivated to do it, but but it pays off in the end because it ended up being, you know, kind of the perfect little job. You know, I write in my spare time, so I have a little bit of an introverted personality, and the air traffic kind of allows me to just hide behind the microphone and tell people what to do to be safe.
So air traffic controller, I think about it being a really stressful job, but I also think about the people that work at LaGuardia or JFK. Would you say, because you're in a smaller airport, it's not a stressful job?
Not anywhere near LaGuardia or JFK, nothing like that. Thank goodness. So it'd be like having a surgeon. You have surgeons who do all different parts of the body. I'm no brain surgeon, but you know what? I can handle your, I could handle your foot or your hand or, you know, little things like that. So different surgeons, different parts that they play. And then same with air traffic. There's definitely very, very complex and very stressful positions, but mine is the perfect fit for me. So.
And did you have any, or do you have any aspirations to be at a LaGuardia someday or?
No. I actually, one of the things when I very, very first got picked up by the FAA, which is the government agency who hires the air traffic controllers, I tested into the highest level. And one of the placements would have been at Cleveland Center, which they handle all of the high up flights. Everybody, if you look at like a video of all the airplanes that fly during the day, like they're the guys who are talking to a lot of them. So I went out to training for that and I failed because there was just no way that was for me. So, and I was A-okay with that. So I ended up settling. My job's up in the tower. You look out the window, you're seeing who you're talking to. You're seeing what they're doing. You're not on a radar screen in a dark room, depressing and cold. So just big difference.
Wow. Well, I do not like to fly, Amy, at all. So I assume that you do enjoy flying, or else I don't know why you would choose a career in air traffic control. Unless you just like to control the people in the air and you never actually go.
That's actually kind of a huge, well, my fiance would definitely tell you that the telling people what to do for a living is a huge draw, but keeping them safe. But I actually don't like to fly. When I was younger, I used to, you know, sitting on an airliner, if you sat next to somebody, I used to ask people to hold my hand during the takeoffs and just hold my hand in case we die. And I used to freak out. I did have to, when I went through the air traffic training, they had us get our pilot's licenses. And I think I hyperventilated the first time I went up. I had to count my breath as we were doing our little pattern work. And my poor instructor, Fred, was going on and on and, you know, telling me all these things. And that very first time, I did not hear a word he said. I just could not wait to get on the ground. eventually I did get a little bit more used to it, but I haven't flown since I've gotten my license. So,
are you serious? Wait, have you flown?
Yeah.
But have you flown on a commercial airplane places, or you don't fly?
Yes, commercial planes, yes. And that's a little bit easier now, but also at the same time, because you can't hear what's going on between the pilot and the controller, there's a little bit of uncomfortable, like, I would rather want to hear what's going on here.
So funny. Yeah. My sense of control when I fly is sitting by a window so I can look out and see where the ground is, because I don't know anything about air traffic control. So that's what I need to do. Okay. So interesting. So you said you started pursuing this at 26. What were you doing prior to this?
So prior to that was the laundry list of other jobs. I ran off and got married out of college. And I think that started, let's see.
Where'd you go to college?
I went up to University of Toledo. I was an art major, okay. Which probably explains the writing and the creativity side.
And the not wanting to be an expert and just being multidimensional. Yeah. It all makes sense now.
Yes. So, and I think at that time, as much as I love Fremont now, I wanted to get out of Fremont. And that was, you know, the best way is off to college. And why not, you know, run off? I think I moved originally to New Orleans when we got married. And down there I was working, let's see, I developed photos and worked at Barnes & Noble.
My first job was at the corporate office of Barnes & Noble.
Oh, really?
Yes.
It was one of my favorite jobs, but also, like, you know, customer service jobs are so fun when you have angry people. And do you know people get angry about books?
Yes, they do.
So that was probably the most fun out of all the strange jobs. I've had a receptionist at medical offices. I've had accounting jobs. I've had, I was the water office clerk here in Fremont at one point.
Which one was the job that blew? The Barnes & Noble?
Actually, it was the photo development. It was so strange. It was back before you had, you know, cell phones that could take wonderful photos, and you were doing these disposable cameras. I just gave away my age, but you were doing disposable cameras, and people were bringing in these disposable cameras, and you would be amazed at what we had to develop.
I was just going to say, I think we have a second show we need to do, because I can only imagine the things you saw. Now, did you ever see anything that you felt like you needed to call the authorities about?
So yes, they definitely have protocol for any kind of child endangerment and things like that. There were times, a couple of times that had to be reported, but you know, I was living in New Orleans at that time, so there was a lot of Mardi Gras pictures.
You weren't there in 1990. Wait, when did I go? I was there. I was there in 1994. It was pre you. Thankfully, you did not develop my photos.
Yes. But it was still fun. It was still fun. I mean, it was not, but it was.
Okay. Well, so we're here because I was on Facebook and someone had posted about this Fremonster book. And I was like, oh my God, that's amazing. I need to talk to this young lady. So tell me about your writing and the book and the inspiration behind the book.
So the inspiration behind Fremonsters, one of the things that I did do, I mentioned earlier that I had failed out of that training program for the high level air traffic control. One of the things that I did after that was just started writing, probably as a little bit of therapy and to just get through it really. So I started writing my first book at that time and just really kind of developed a passion for it. The more I wrote, the more I enjoyed it. I've always enjoyed reading. I have zero education in literature that way, unfortunately, but I've tried to just do this amateur development and it's come a long way in my mind anyway. And so as I've progressed through, I knew eventually I wanted to do a little homage to the hometown. When I did settle up in Michigan, I had gone to kind of gotten in touch with some old Fremont girls who settled up in the area, and we would go to trivia, and our trivia name was Fremonsters. And the name kind of stuck in my mind, and I thought, oh, maybe I could do a horror story that way. And so as I came home to visit, and you know, you hear the small town gossip, you put little things in your pocket for story plot line development, and which can be scary, I'm sure, for people who know me. But my mom actually told me about the weird thing that caught my eye was that they were redoing all the schools, which I thought was such a weird thing. They were tearing all down these big, beautiful brick buildings, and they were going to rebuild all the schools. And I thought, well, why would they do that? And why all
it? I want to insert in here that they tore down my elementary school, my middle school, and now they're tearing down high school. So
I know. And it was such a weird thing. And they were such, I mean, they were probably not so wonderful on the inside, but the outside, architecturally, they were beautiful buildings. So I just thought, okay, well, how can I make a story out of that? Well, what if something was buried underneath of the schools? And what if we could turn this into a horror story for the elementary, I think was where I wanted to go with it. Cause there were a lot of the elementary schools. Some of them never even got rebuilt.
No, I went to Hayes and they're not rebuilding it.
Is that where you went? Yeah. Yeah. So I did what I could with that. And again, you just tuck it away as an idea. And the more things that would pop out to me, the more reasons that I would have a story. My friend, Dan Shadinsky, he's a kid I went to high school with. He used to ghost hunt, and, you know, he's a big artist now, and he has a monster exhibit at the the world famous of Fremont Presidential Hayes Museum that I'm sure you know.
Oh, I know it. I've had my senior pictures taken there. I've had prom photos taken there. Yes.
Yes, it is. It is the go-to premier spot. And
And a president may have lived there as well.
Yeah. The most important, of course.
Yeah.
It's just the, you know, pretty property in Fremont. We have to put it on the postcard. So Dan had his monster exhibit of all exhibits at the museum. And I thought, oh, well, okay, this might be the final piece of the puzzle. So putting all these pieces together came up with a middle grade horror story for kids. And apparently, you know, I've gotten some reaction, a lot of excitement, and apparently Fremonsters was a common thing that people would call each other.
No, and so when does the book come out?
So the book will come out at the end of the month, October 30th. I have set up with the Hayes Museum to do a little release party. I'm going to try to get the book available to order a little bit before that so that people could have them on hand. But I do all of it self-publishing through Amazon. So I can only do so much as Amazon lets me. So
well, it's too bad you couldn't do it on Halloween and have like a whole Halloween theme. I mean, you could do it still on the 30th as a Halloween theme. Yeah. Invite free monsters to come dressed up.
Yeah. So that's what I've tried. I've put out there that I want them to come in costume. I'll do prizes for people who do dress up, and, you know, some sign books and whatnot, whatever I can get my hands on to give. And, you know, with COVID, it's hard to determine who all, you know, how many people can be there, how many people will be there, number one, how many people are interested, but how many people can be in there. And so I've been trying to navigate through all of the protocols and be safe. You know, I'm expecting, so I definitely want to take precautions myself. So, you know, it's just a changed world, different than how I would have done it before, but we'll figure out how to do it. And hopefully Fremont enjoys it. I hope it does something for the town. If anything, I hope it gives a couple laughs after the last year or two that we've had, you know. If anything, that's what I'm hoping for.
Well, are you pitching it to local media? Sorry,
my PR is on now. PR, all right. So I am going to do a press release to the good old Fremont News Messenger here in the next. And here's what you don't know when you're doing the self-publishing and you're kind of stepping your toes in the water to try to handle it yourself. You know, I don't want to do it too early. I don't want to get, you know, that got such a good reaction when I just posted about the cover, and I don't even have the book out yet. I feel like I hope I didn't, you know, lose the wave in that excitement. So I'll try to do it maybe a couple, 2 weeks before the event and see what the reaction it gets. But yeah, it's all exciting.
You can run your press release by me if you would like. And I think it's worth, if you're going to have a little get together with potentially people coming in costume and whatnot at the presidential, I think that's worth even trying to get like the Toledo News or someone there. You never know. Yeah. It's worth a try, right? Okay.
Why not? The more the merrier for me. So,
and keep, you know, putting stuff on Facebook, because Lord knows that's a great way to word of mouth to spread.
Well, and you know, well, you may not know, I literally just created the event yesterday, and I'm sure you do know Facebook broke.
And there are Fremont pages. So make sure that you're putting the information on the Fremont pages.
Yes. So I did. I don't know if you know, got a hold of, so there's so many different ones, and there's a gentleman who takes care of the Fremont City News. His name's Dave, and he came in and spoke with me yesterday. And so he's going to be involved in the event and help me out with some trophies for the costume winners and stuff like that. I know I've spoke to Craig from the Fremont News Messenger before. But again, like the last time I did a book signing, it was probably more my family than anything that shows up. And, you know, in a small town, that can be, you know, a fairly good number. But
different. How many books do you have?
I have 3 other books that are like a fantasy, and then 2 children's books that are based around my dog.
And your dog's name is Brutus, I assume, after the Buckeye.
Yeah, the good old Ohio connection. He's a 15-year-old Chihuahua, and it was actually, those ones were an idea, a Christmas present for my nieces and nephew, because they wanted to be in a book. So I did some children's books with the dog and with them. So they ended up being just fun. So I did a couple of those, and then I've got Free Monsters is the big one here. And the one that really kind of put me, I was so unmotivated in the last year or so, this one kind of put me right back on track so that I can get back into it.
Well, you got to get a famous free monster to advocate for you, like Charles Woodson.
Yeah, that's what, and you know, so I'm going to drop a little bit of a spoiler alert here, but so there is a moment where in the book, well, I'm going to try to veil it so that I don't give too much away. There's a moment in the book where you can imagine where almost everybody in Fremont will be involved and maybe transformed. And so I name drop a few people of who the character might recognize that's been transformed. And so I just use last names. And if, you know, Woodson is a very popular last name in Fremont, so I may or may not have, you know, thrown that in there as maybe one of these things.
Funny. So let me ask you, is writing a dream job? Is air traffic control a dream job? Both?
Yeah. So that's a hard question, because I pursued air traffic for so long, and it took me so long to get, you know, to a comfortable spot with it. I would say that was my dream job, but, you know, in the midst of the trials and tribulations, the writing has really become a passion, but I'm so afraid of it taking over as an obligation. I don't want it to be something that I dread, or deadlines, or something that I can't control, amazingly. So I guess I'd like to keep it as a hobby. Of course, I would love it to be successful, but really, more than anything, I would just like people to enjoy it more than the money-making part of it. Or yes, obviously I would love to be J.K. Rowling, but I don't think that's in the works. But there's just an element to it where I realistically just want to keep it as mine and keep my sanity with it.
Well, I think it's really cool, and I can't wait to get the book. And you inspired me for the game that I came up with, because when you say free monster, And I was saying this to you before the show, when I would tell friends in college and friends in New York about things that happened in Fremont, the running joke became that we lived on the Hellmouth in Fremont, because the things that that go on there, they don't go on usually in other places. So the game that I came up for you is Fremont or Sunnydale. And this is based on Sunnydale is the location of Buffy the Vampire Slayer. And their high school was in fact on a demonic dimensional portal, which I just gave a question away. But anyway, they lived on, the school was on a Hellmouth. So I'm going to give you a couple of descriptions and you have to tell me if it's Fremont or Sunnydale. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. Toxic train spill.
Toxic train spill. There, well, is a quite a few train tracks through Fremont. So I'm going to go with Fremont on that one.
Yes. 1988. There was a toxic train spill. Yes. And we got paid out for it. So no doubt we will all be growing a third arm eventually.
Oh my gosh, that doesn't, well, I suppose that doesn't surprise me. And maybe it has been used as a plot line for Buffy.
Exactly. All right. Adults throughout town behave like immature teenagers after they eat cursed candy.
Both?
Well, after they eat cursed candy, I felt that was the giveaway that it was Buffy, but it was a tough one up until that, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Corrupt law enforcement is caught trying to frame innocent people for murder.
Oh, I did watch Dateline that night. As most people from Fremont probably did. That one is Fremont.
Yes. Although it may have been an episode of Buffy too, but I had Fremont in mind when I came up with it. And indeed, yes, we were on Dateline. High schoolers die in strange and mysterious ways.
See, now that one I could believe for both, because very, very unspecifically, but yeah, I could go with both on that one.
Yes. As I mentioned, a fellow in my ninth grade class went over the dam, and another young lady had a car drive through her bedroom. So yes, not normal. Finally, the school sits atop a demonic dimensional portal.
So I went to St. Joe, so I would have to believe that that could not be true. But who knows about that Fremont Rose? I do know that one was definitely Buffy.
That was definitely Buffy. All right. You did quite well. And I know there were some tough ones in there. So for the listeners who are not in Fremont and who cannot attend your awesome book launch, where can they buy the book?
So Free Monsters will be available October 30th on Amazon. I'm going to try to get it ready for Barnes & Noble as well. Amazon.com, they're taking over the world. So might as well throw my book in the mix and hope that it can enjoy the ride.
Amazing. And do you, Amy, have any social channels that you encourage your readers to follow, or are they just personal?
So I use Facebook as well as I can. I am very, very slow and behind on the technology and the social media. I got made fun of by my coworker for not knowing how to do an Instagram story, sadly, but I did figure it out. And so you can find me on Facebook. My other book series is the Statera Saga. That's S-T-A-T-E-R-A. And if you're interested in looking into those, that's the page for Facebook. I am on Twitter with handle Amy Writes Book, because that was as creative as I could get at the time.
And you only had one book in mind at the time?
Yeah. Well, that plural might have been used by another Amy who writes books.
Okay. So you did have bigger plans than just the one book.
Yes, but those handles, the fight over it. And I do have a website, amymarieauthor.com, and that one's probably kept up most. And actually, it was after you contacted me that reminded me that I needed to go update that with the newest stuff. So that's probably the one.
What was the website again, Amy?
It's amymarieauthor.com.
Okay. All right. Well, that's easy enough to spell. Yeah. You made me think of a question in the middle of that. And now I have, and you have a big arrival coming soon, right?
I I do. So I am expecting my first child, hopefully not a demonic anything after the conversations we've been having, January 15th. I am a bulging belly right now, and only to get worse. And
it's all exciting and amazing. So congratulations. And I'm sure Brutus will be thrilled.
Oh yes. Little sis, I suppose.
All right. Well, thank you so much for coming on my podcast. I really appreciate it. This is the Jobs Glow Podcast. The web, you can find us at jobsglowpodcast.com and on Instagram and Facebook and Twitter, Jobs Glow Podcast. I'm Brianna Haas. That was Amy Strasbaugh, I think, if I say it right. And thank you. Thank you again, Amy. Thank you, listeners, for listening. Please review and subscribe.